Let me ask you this. Who wrote Matthew? Who wrote Mark? I can't hear you. I need to turn these hearing aids up. Hang on just a minute. Maybe I'll hear a little bit better. Who wrote Mark? Who wrote Luke? Who wrote John? All right, here it gets a little bit more interesting. To whom did Matthew write? Are you saying it right? To the Jews. How do we know it? This was all done that it might be fulfilled. Matthew's other name. What's Matthew's other name? Levi. All right. We talked about Mark. To whom does Mark write? Not to the Jews. To another nation, nationality. To the Romans. He writes to the Romans. Writes to the Greeks. Okay. What about Luke? We ask who wrote Luke. To whom did Luke write? Who's the individual that received that letter? Most excellent Theophilus. And John, he writes a general epistle, not to any specific people, but it all emphasizes the deity of Christ. And so that's what we're doing here. We have these Bible cards that give questions and answers, and so that's really what we're trying to do. Try to review a little bit every week of things that we have recently studied. If you're visiting with us tonight and you do not have a set of these cards, we'll be glad to give these to you. And so just hold your hand up if anyone needs one or anything. I don't see any hands up, but yes, there's some hands up over here, David. Ashley needs one. That's great. Ashley, welcome to the body of Jesus. We are so glad that you are part of it. Anybody else needs one? If you need to borrow one tonight, we're not trying to give away, hundreds of these things at once, but if you need one, just hold your hands up. All right, let's get to some things we talked about the last time. If we talk about the genealogy of Jesus, this is something that we've talked about. Where would I read the genealogy of Jesus, and what is the genealogy of Jesus? He is the son of two individuals. I'll give you that much. The son of, Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. Son of who? And son of who? Son of David and son of Abraham. And that's the way, that is his genealogy. There are five women mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus. Can you name one of them? Who? Rahab. Somebody said, I heard somebody say Rahab. Who? What else? Who else? Did you say Tamar? I'm not hearing, okay. Rahab, Tamar, who else? Ruth, who else? Bathsheba, that's the one I left out, and thanks for all of you last week for giving that as an answer, although she's not mentioned by name. Bathsheba is one of the five women, and then there's Mary herself. Look at the very nature of these women, and it will absolutely amaze you how God can take people that you would not expect to be found in the genealogy of Jesus. Sometimes we think, well, if you're in the genealogy of Jesus, you're really a holy person. Not necessarily so, but God can use any of those individuals. Isaiah's prophecy about the birth of Jesus, behold a virgin, she shall conceive, and you should call his name what? Emmanuel, which means 750 years before he was born. God is coming. He's coming in the flesh. And there are all of these prophecies about the coming of Jesus. Prophecies about his birth and about his life and about his nature and about all of his miracles and about his words, and go on and on. How many prophecies are there in the Old Testament about Jesus? You know that number? 332. You want to have your faith built in the Bible. Look at 300 times God says, I am coming in the flesh, and when I'm there, here's the way you'll recognize me. And so you begin looking at Jesus Christ, and one of them is to be born of a virgin. All right? Jumping to the New Testament. What angelic being announced the birth of Jesus to Mary? It's Mary. It's Mary. It's Gabriel, isn't it? Gabriel also announced the birth of somebody else. Who was that other person Gabriel announced the birth of? It was John the Baptist. So we got Gabriel, heavenly messengers to come to Zechariah and Elizabeth, but specifically to Zechariah, and say, you're going to have a child. And then he comes to Mary and says, you are going to have a child. What city did Mary live in? This is something you may not know, anybody know what city she grew up in? Nazareth. She grew up in Nazareth. She grew up in Nazareth. Now, you've got to understand that. That's not where he was born. That's where she met Joseph, evidently, because though he was a descendant of David, he was not living down in that part of that country. Who is the mother and earthly father of Jesus? Is that too hard to ask? I hope you know the mother of Jesus. You can't get to heaven if you don't know this. I think this is a gimme on the final test. Who's the mother of Jesus? Mary. Who's his earthly father? Joseph. Okay, we're doing well. Mother and earthly father of Jesus. Now the angel appears to Joseph and tells him to do three things. We talked in that sermonette that we had a few moments ago about Mary. You want to talk about Joseph? David, I remember on Father's Day, was it last year, you preached a sermon about Joseph, the kind of father that he was. And so the angel of the Lord gets a message. There are three things, Joseph. One of them concerns Mary. What does he say? Fear not to take Mary as your wife. That's the first thing. The second thing is the child that is in her is from the Holy Spirit. And the third statement is you're to name him Jesus. What's the name Jesus mean? Savior. He shall save his people from their sins. People's names is oftentimes in the Bible, those names are indicative of the work and the character and what will happen to that individual. Now, these are things that we've looked at in the past. Anybody know, just in passing, the Old Testament, the Hebrew equivalent of the name Jesus? Anybody know the Old Testament? It was Joshua. Guess what Joshua means in Hebrew? Savior. In Greek, Jesus means Savior, and in another language, Joshua is the word that means Savior, and that's what he was. He was the one who led them in. He led them into the promised land. All right, the birthplace of Jesus is where? Bethlehem. Did Joseph and Mary get to Bethlehem? And that's not one of the questions that's in the cards, but the next question I'm going to ask is on the priest card, and it's about who announced the birth of Jesus to the shepherd. But we've got to get Mary and Joseph down there. How on earth can somebody from Nazareth get down to Bethlehem? If they had not been in Bethlehem, he's not the Messiah. How does God work that out? There's a census. Where does that come from? Who says take the census? No, the government does. Rome says, go take a census. God was so determined to get Jesus in Bethlehem that he gave something that impacted the whole world. Go to the city of your birth. Wonder if Theophilus was impacted by that. Isn't that amazing? Wonder if the Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, wonder if he was impacted by that. The whole world. And everybody, when Jesus comes onto the scene, would think about, I remember that. And you might be able to put two and two together of Nazareth and Bethlehem. Because Joseph was of the tribe of Judah. Is that important for him to be of the tribe of Judah? Yeah, absolutely. One of those 332 prophecies was that the Messiah is going to come through Judah. And so all of this begins to work together. And so they get down to Bethlehem. Where are they going to stay? Where are you going to stay? Why didn't he find a place to stay? There was no room in the inn. We've probably not studied deeply enough about no room in the inn. We're thinking Motel 6. You know, I mean, he started with the Hilton. He might have started with some real, real big place trying to find, and finally goes down to Motel 5, and he still cannot find a place. He was looking for a motel to stay in. That's probably not the situation. This word, in, is used in the Bible to refer to the upper room. That's interesting. When we read that, we think about them finding a rental place where they might stay. And the whole drama of the Christmas pageant is Joseph trying to go, you know, trying to find a place to stay. They may not have been able to stay in the big house, in the inn, the upper room, the main house. Well, guess what they kept in right next to their main house? They kept their animals. And so he's not able to find a place in the inn. And the sign given, you'll find him in a manger. That's amazing how all of this transpires. Let's get Jesus being born. You're a shepherd. Mary says, I'm of lowly estate. Do you know, other than Mary and Elizabeth and those who are on the spiritual side of this, do you know who to whom the birth of Jesus was first announced? Herod had not heard about it. Whereas he's born king of the Jews, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And God chose to look at people who were nobodies. You don't have to be a somebody for God to use you. We've got to get that inside our being. God can use anybody. And so he announces the birth of Jesus to the shepherd. How did that happen? They were out in the fields taking care of their sheep, and there's one angel from heaven that speaks. Only sees one angel. And the angel is the one who says, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. For there is born to you in the city of David, a Savior, the Christ. Wait a minute. The Messiah is coming? And we're out here doing these things that are meaningless, taking care of sheep. You know, the difficulty of sheep that just wander away and everything. We are nobodies on this earth, and the God of heaven says, you are the first people on this earth, other than those that are specifically and directly involved. And I'm talking about Mary and Joseph and Elizabeth and likely Zechariah. The Messiah has been born. The Messiah has been born. Now then, the heavens are filled with heavenly host. And they're singing. They're singing about the birth of Jesus. They're at least announcing to the world. How did the shepherds find Jesus? The question is, I think, where the shepherds found Jesus. We've already given one of the answers. In the city of David. Okay, where's the city of David? It's Bethlehem. That's where David was born. City of David, you're going to find him where? In a manger. The wise men, they're smart. They're looking for the same Messiah. Where do they go? Not to a manger, obviously. They went to the palace. The Messiah has been born on this earth. And you're going to find him in the city of David in a manger. And he's got the purple robe of the king on him. No. He is wrapped in swaddling cloths. When you were expecting your firstborn, did you fix up a room in the house? Did you buy a bassinet? You know, you understand the preparations we make for our children? Joseph and Mary wrap him in clothing, swaddling clothing. That's the clothes he's got. He's swaddled. And then they disappear. You know what they did immediately, the text says? They went to look for him. Can you imagine when they went to look for him? Where all they had to look. Yeah, I mean, use your imagination. How are you going to find him? Do you go to every stable? Do you go to every place there might be a manger? Is that how you find him? I have no idea. We're looking for the Messiah. An angel has told us the Messiah has been born in this very city, and we're looking for him. By the way, where's the manger? And when they find the manger, he's swaddled in cloth. It is remarkable what they do. And these things are not part of the questions that are on here. These things are just the skeleton on which we try to hang all of this. They tell Mary everything that's happened. You're talking about a confirmation. They talk to Mary and tell Mary everything that has happened. But not only do they tell Mary, they tell everybody in Bethlehem. That's an exaggeration. But it was noised abroad in that entire city. What has been noised abroad? The Messiah has been born. If you'd been God, you would not have done it that way, would you? If you'd been God, how would you have announced the birth of the Messiah? You know, would you have had the TV cameras involved, you understand? Would you have covered the skies make all the stars line up and say the Messiah has been born? Who knows about it? Who knows about the Messiah's birth? Mary, Joseph, Elizabeth knows he's on the way. Zechariah knows that John the Baptist is going to be the forerunner, and that's it. And the next evidence to the world is the words of these shepherds. There's an interesting thing that is said about Mary. She hid all of these things in her heart. You'd be amazed how many times in this part of the Bible we get an understanding of where Mary is coming from. I don't know what's happening. I have no idea what the future holds. You think she saw the situation with Herod? No. Do you think anybody would have seen the situation with Herod? No. None of us would have been able to begin halfway to imagine. You remember about the finding of the baby child. The next event is the presentation of the baby to the Lord. Look in the book of Luke. In the book of Luke, there is this decree from the God of heaven And the decree says that every child that opens the womb shall be presented to the Lord. In fact, that is quoted almost in verbatim. Verse 21 of Luke chapter 2. When the 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now when her days of purification, what's that all about? A woman that had given birth was ceremonially unclean for 40 days if it was a male child. So now baby Jesus is 40 days old. The days of her purification have been fulfilled according to the law of Moses. When they were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Do you remember what happened down in Egypt? Who did the Lord purchase with blood down in Egypt? Who was spared down in the land of Egypt? The firstborn. And so it was God's plan originally for the firstborn to be the priest. Didn't work out that way. Firstborn disappointed God. God changed his plan. And that's when the tribe of Levi was chosen above the firstborn. But God still says, that firstborn belongs to me. And in the Old Testament, they counted up exactly how many Levites there were and how many firstborn there were. And so they were traded one for one. One Levite for one firstborn. But then they had too many firstborn, and so they had to purchase them with money in order to keep them. Look at the statement that is made here in the Old Testament, says in verse 23. It says, it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And so that child, unlike those that were in the land of Egypt, were bought with the blood of the Lamb. That firstborn had to be bought back from God. Everything that belongs to the Lord, every firstborn belongs to me. I think it's rather interesting, and we probably ought not to chase this one, but even of the animals. They didn't own the firstborn of the animals. Guys, when you recognize the church is called the church of the firstborn, you've got to see how special you are. You are the church of the firstborn. And that word firstborn there in Hebrews chapter 12 is plural, not singular. Church of the firstborn, that's got to be Jesus. No, not in that passage. It's plural, the church of the firstborn ones. God owns the firstborn. They're His. And it was His plan for them to be their priest under the Old Testament system, had the firstborn not worshiped the golden calf. But God still said, you got to give me that firstborn. You've got to present that firstborn to me. And it is interesting. They brought him, verse 24, to offer sacrifices according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two pigeons are to be offered. Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus go down to that temple. Let me point out, it is interesting here, the interchangeable usage of the word law of Moses in verse 22 and the law of the Lord in verse 24. Some individuals try to make the law of Moses the animal sacrifices and the law of the Lord the Ten Commandments. And so we don't keep the law, we don't keep the law of Moses, we keep the law of the Lord. Guess what? Offering turtle doves was a part of the law of Moses and a part of the law of the Lord. There is no distinction. It is the law of the Lord that was given through Moses. But some individual, particularly those trying to justify worshiping on Saturday, like the Seventh-day Adventists, will say, oh, we don't keep the law of Moses, we keep the law of the Lord. There's not two different laws, and this very passage shows that. Isn't it amazing how truth just pops up in the most strange places? And so he's taken down there, and he's purchased, dedicated to God with the offering of two turtle doves or two pigeons. That might give you an indication of the poverty of Mary and Joseph. Well, don't they have that gold and frankincense and myrrh? No, that hasn't happened yet. Wise men have not come. Christmas pageant? Jesus is already 40 days old, and the wise men have not yet come. Wise men come later. Every Christmas pageant you've seen, the shepherds come in and they don't even get out. They don't even get outside of the stable until in walks all of these wise men with gold and frankincense and myrrh. That's not biblical. He's 40 days old, and the wise men still have not come. There's some amazing things that happen in the temple. Simeon and Anna, two characters that are worthy of note. It's just so difficult for us to teach every possible thing that's in here, and David and I have struggled all the way through the writing of all of this material to say, if we put it all in here, we'd have 25,000 questions. But you've got to understand, Jesus was Jewish, and his parents were so devout individuals that they did what God said, and they brought the turtle doves, and they offered them as a sacrifice. Those were the things that were mentioned. We'll introduce tonight the coming of the wise men. Why did the wise men come? And I've not been putting, well, it's been on the screen anyway, the priest question, what led the wise men to Jesus, to the place of his birth? We saw his star in the east. We have come to worship him. Him who? The King of the Jews. Who do you tell that to? King Herod. You've got to become Herod. You've got to become Herod. The King of the Jews has been born, and there's a heavenly manifestation that the King of the Jews has been born. You know what Herod thinks? Not mine. Not mine. There's been no birth in my place. And yet there's a heavenly evidence that the Messiah, or somebody, that the King of the Jews has been born, and he's not my child. Where is this child? Are they still in the stable? The Bible says that they came into the house. What kind of a husband would Joseph have been if he'd been born in the stable and now at least 40 plus days have passed and still out there in the stable. The wise men, the Bible says, came into the house. And they came to worship him. That Greek word, proskuneo. Proskuneo. Mary, what's the sign, Mary Ephron, the sign for worship? That's what we've come to do. We've come to do this. It's an action. And they came to do this. How many wise men were there? What verse says there's an unknown number? Every verse in the Bible says there's an unknown number, right? You read every verse in the Bible and you still don't know. So we don't know how many wise men. How many gifts did they bring? Three. I want you to stop for just a moment. The whole city knew these wise men's arrival. You got to read the text. You got to read it slow. And now all of a sudden, here are the wise men coming to this city. The whole city is an exaggeration, but the whole city was very much aware. What are these men doing here? Why are they here? We've come to worship the King of the Jews. King of the Jews? What do we know about that? Mary knew about it. Joseph knew about it. Zechariah and Elizabeth and John the Baptist, they know all about it. But the people, all we know is these people have come to find the King of the Jews. Herod's dishonest, isn't he? Herod's dishonest. Where's he born? Sometimes we have that little star just like a police helicopter flying all over them, you know, and leads them all the way to the king's palace. It led them. When they came out of the palace, the star came and stood over the house where he was. My imagination tries to grab a hold of that. I don't know, you know, it was not just footprints that led them to get there. Just all of a sudden now, there is that star, and it is above the house where he is born. They knew the house. And they came to worship him. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Frankincense was a waxy substance that grew on a tree, sometimes on a bush-like tree, if that makes sense. I don't know if you've ever been around peach trees or not. We had a peach tree in the backyard when I was growing up, and that tree would put out a waxy substance on that peach tree. Some of you have obviously seen it. You're shaking your head, yes. How scarce is that? Do you know the worth of frankincense? You know what it was? They burned it. It was a waxy substance. They put the waxy substance in the fire and they burned that waxy substance. It was incense. How valuable is it? They brought it and they gave it to Jesus. And myrrh was another spice, was a spice that they had. Worth lots and gold. These are not paupers that have come to see him. These are the renowned wise men from the east. Don't know how far from the east. And they came and they worshiped him. It's 7:10. It's a stopping place. And we'll stop tonight. I hope you've learned some things about the birth of Jesus that you may not have thought of. You are dismissed.